Thank you, worship team, for leading us this morning. What a blessing. As the deer, and I pray that our hearts are that, panting after God this morning, seeking to allow Him to do His work in and through us. And we are just praising God for His love, His grace, and His mercy toward us. This morning, we are continuing on in our study in the book of Ephesians. We've been here a while. But there's a lot of rich truth here, a lot of what we need to know and hear and learn so that we might be everything that God would want us to be. We started off in the first three chapters with an understanding that we are in Christ, and that is huge. When we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are placed within the body of Christ, and now there is a new spot for us. There is a new position that we have. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we think of that, and Paul continues to remind us of that as we work our way through the book. And then we looked at several things that are so important to us as we journey on through the Christian life, and Paul continues to reiterate those things and is really the basis of everything that he talked about in the rest of the book, is that us, that we are within Christ, or we are in Christ. But he starts off with our walk, and our walk is this, that we need to walk in holiness. Now that's important. There is this separation in the Christian life. There is something different about us because we know Jesus Christ is our personal Savior. And this is going to influence us in every aspect of our lives, or at least permeate every aspect of our lives. And so we are to walk in holiness. The next thing that Paul tells us is that we are to walk in love. God loved us, and we are to walk in that kind of love. This self-sacrificing, sacrificial type of love that is should be a mark of the church, a mark of any church. The third thing that he talked about is the fact that we need to walk in light and how important it is for us to walk in that light so that we know where we're going, so that we have an understanding of what God's will is for us. And so we are to walk in the light. And then he says we're supposed to walk in wisdom, godly wisdom, not knowledge. It's very easy to gain a lot of knowledge. You go on the internet and you could Google whatever you feel like Googling. You can look at commentaries. You can do whatever you want to do to study the Bible and gain knowledge. But unless you're gaining wisdom along with that knowledge, it doesn't help. We need wisdom. We need to be able to discern. We need to be able to walk in wisdom. And wisdom doesn't necessarily mean education or knowledge. But godly wisdom should be leading us and guiding us. As we read through the book of Proverbs, we read about that godly wisdom. As Solomon looks at life, as Solomon understands how wisdom is so important, you read through the book of Proverbs and you'll see that. The last thing that we looked at and the way that we are to walk is in the Holy Spirit. And allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform our lives, to convict us in those areas where we need to be convicted, to challenge us in those areas where we need to be challenged. And we all need that, don't we? We need those times in our lives when we are just challenged to the next level, that we are just confronted straight up, that there are things that need to change in our lives so that we can move to a deeper understanding of who God is, a deeper commitment to His truth, a deeper commitment to His grace. And then Paul says, this all culminates in the idea in chapter 5, verse 21, where he says, now, because of all this, submit yourselves to one another. Submit yourselves to one another. Place yourself under one another's authority. And that is so important as we start to move into these next sections, because Paul now takes us to that point where he says, this is how this practically works out in your everyday walk of life, in your everyday relationships. And he starts off with the marriage relationships. And we talked last week about wives in chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, where it says, "Wives, submit to your husbands in everything." And the example that we had is how Christ submitted himself to God. And so we are to submit, first of all, and that submission comes as willingly placing ourselves under the authority of someone else. We see it as we understand our relationship with God, and now he says in that marital relationships, wives have a place. They're not inferior, it's just role and function. We are all one in Christ. We are all level at the cross. We are all the same in God's eyes. There is no distinction between man and woman. We are all equal. So this idea of submission is this willingly placing yourself under the authority of your husband because he is submitting himself to God. And so that's so important to remember as we think of these passages of Scripture. This morning, what I'd like us to do first before we get into Ephesians chapter 5 is to look at 1 Peter chapter 3 verses 5 through 8. Because Peter says basically the same thing as what Paul is saying in Ephesians chapter 5. Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 5. "For this is how holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves." And he gave a list of this outward adorning in the verses preceding this. "But also by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham and called him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." And so here's Peter talking about the same thing, this idea of submission to your husband. Why? Well, if we look at Abraham's life, it was because Abraham was submitting to God. And as Abraham submitted to God, Sarah willingly placed herself under that authority because she knew that her husband was being directed by God. And last week we went through that creative order. God as the head, Christ submits to God, the church submits to Christ, husbands are to submit to Christ, wives are to submit to their husband. This is the order, this is the divine order that God had ordained. Again, all of us are equal at the foot of the cross, right? As we understand our sinfulness and our need of a Savior, we are all the same. But Peter goes on in this chapter, and he says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to her or to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." And so here, husbands, we are commanded in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll see again in Ephesians chapter 5, that we are to love our wives, showing honor to our wives, live with them in an understanding way. Now, we have some young marrieds here. And Josh, I'm going to use Josh as an example at the board meeting Thursday night. He said, you know, just pray for us as we kind of work out this new marriage thing. And all of us sort of giggled a little bit because we know that that's a process. It is a process. You know, Chris and I have been married 40 years. If we went around the room, we would say, you know what? Every stage of life is a little bit different. And there's a new stage of understanding. And if we ever figure that out, we'll be in great shape, but that's never going to happen this side of eternity. So we continually learn and we continue to grow and we continue to develop in our relationships with our wives as we submit to God and as we are given this opportunity to have our eyes opened and live with understanding with our wives, but also showing honor to our wives. We had a couple in our church in West Virginia when I was in Bible college, and they had the strangest relationship. They would rip each other to shreds. They would, in front of people. It was crazy how they would treat one another. They loved each other, you know, but he didn't honor her, she didn't honor him, and it was just one of those things that you were always uncomfortable when you were around him. But the scripture tells us that we are to honor one another. We are to cherish one another, encourage one another, and respect one another. Why? Because the woman is the weaker vessel. The woman is the weaker vessel. See, the fastest woman in the world in the Olympics, she's still slower than the fastest man in the world. You know, there are differences. There are just differences, and not inferior, different. We're just made different and wired differently. So Peter is telling us that since we are heirs, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, we're joint heirs. First of all, with Christ, and then one another as brothers and sisters, and that's how we should treat one another, as brothers and sisters in Christ. But it's interesting that Peter goes on to say that your prayers be not hindered. How many of our prayers, men, are hindered because of the way that we treat our wives? Why is God not answering our prayers? Is it because of the way we treat that one that we are supposed to love and to cherish and to honor? And then Peter goes on and closes this in a similar way as we read in Ephesians chapter 5. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. There is this humility. There is this submission as part of loving and living and being what God has called us to be. So let's turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at this passage of Scripture this morning. As we continue on here, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5. This is now husbands, our day. Last week was Women's Day. Today is our day. Next week, kids. We'll have a... So it says, husbands, love your wives, starting at verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So Paul wraps everything up here as far as the marital relationship and the husband and wife relationship. So as we look at this, with similar to what we saw last week when we talked about the wife. So here are three things we're going to look at. We're going to look at the manner of that love. We are to look at the model of that love, and then the motive of that love. Similar to what we looked at as far as the wife was concerned, those three things were elements of what we talked about last week. So how do we love our wives? Well, in the first verse, Paul says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. The word that Paul uses here, and as we remember, wives weren't told to love their husbands. This seems to be a natural thing for wives as wives are being cared for and as they are being cherished and as they are being honored and as they see their husbands following after Christ, they naturally love in a way that is sacrificial. And men, we need to be reminded, love your wives. This love that Paul is talking about here is the sacrificial type of love, the Christ kind of love, as he mentions. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So we are to care for our wives as we care for ourselves. And he goes on to talk about that a little while later in the next verses, that he might sanctify her. So this loving includes physically loving your wife. Physically loving your wife. Paul talks about this being apart, unless it's by consent. Physically love your wife. Spiritually, we are to lead our wives. As we are committing ourselves to God and allowing God to do his work in our lives, I am to lead spiritually. I'm not going to ask men to stand up this morning. Friday night, I was going to do this before he ever mentioned it Friday night. He said he was speaking at it with a group of men and asked them specifically how many men prayed with their wives. 3/4 of the auditorium stood up. Men, we need to be leading spiritually. And as we lead spiritually, that means that we need to be praying together as husband and wife. Make it a priority. Make it a priority. Carve out that time whenever that is, whether it's first thing in the morning, whether it's before you drop off to sleep at night, but pray together. And if you have time to be in the Word together, that's even better. Spend time, men, growing your wife spiritually. It's very easy to get connected with the physical end. But we need to spiritually be building up our wives. Emotionally, we need to be connected also. How do we do that? Well, there's many different ways to do that. I was reading a book by Matt Chandler. It's called Mingled Souls. And he uses this example. He says, I met a guy named Dudley Collison years ago, and he told me the story about how he got engaged. It blew me away. He started by picking up his girlfriend in a car and driving her out to the lake. At the lake, they got into a canoe and canoed out to the little island in the middle of the lake. There in the middle of the lake, Dudley had set up a lunch. They ate a sweet romantic meal together, and after lunch, a speedboat came flying up to the island and picked them up. So they got in the speedboat and sped around the lake for a while before going back to shore, where there was a limo waiting for them. They got in, and the driver took them to an airfield, where they boarded a little airplane and went flying over the beautiful Arkansas hills. When they landed on a grass runway, they were at a nice college campus in the area, and he led her out of the plane to the campus chapel, where the whole thing was set up as for a wedding. Candles were lit, flowers sprinkled everywhere, and she saw an envelope in the front of her with her name on it. So she went and opened it, and inside was his proposal for marriage. She turned around, and Dudley was down on one knee with the ring out. Of course, she said yes, and next he escorted her to a waiting truck, a really beat-up piece of trash that barely ran. But they got in and drove to dinner, where he explained what the vehicles meant. He said that the car stood for normalcy, for the reality that they were going to have mostly normal days in their life together. The canoe was for those times when they would have to work together to get somewhere. The speedboat was for the fun that they were going to have. The limo represented other people driving them, anticipating times when their lives would be affected by other people. The airplane was about the spiritual journey together. And finally, the old beat-up truck was about growing old together. And that's how this guy proposed to his wife. But there's more. The two of them got married on the 31st day of the month. Dudley figured out that there were 7 months with 31 days each year. And on every one of those 31sts, he buys a small present for his wife and places it somewhere for her to find. It's always something she likes, things that he's been taking notes on all the other days. So she might get into her car on the 31st day of the month, turn it on, and a new CD starts playing. It's a nice surprise. He says that after 15 years of marriage, on the 31st, his wife wakes up and just starts looking. I met this guy when I was in college and thought, teach me Jedi Master. And he goes on to say, men, as we are out with our wives, how do we get to know them? We just listen. We listen to the I likes and, oh, this is cute. Oh, this is wonderful. And we start to take notes. And so, men, when you go shopping with your wife, don't drag yourself to the mall or the store. Start taking notes. Call it research. Call it whatever you need to. But then start to get to know her. But minister to her emotionally. That touches that emotional chord. There's a song that's out now. It's All of Me Loves All of You. And it also talks about these perfect imperfections. How many of us have imperfections? Anybody have any imperfections in our lives? And as we love one another and as we grow in our relationships with one another, we realize that those are perfect imperfections. And we start to love in this physical, spiritual, and emotional aspect. The manner of our loving grows deeper. As husbands, we love as we ought. As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for the church. And he is our model. That's the manner. The model is Jesus Christ. What did he do? He loved with that self-sacrificing type of love. I am willing to give up anything and everything for you. We make that commitment, don't we? When we say our vows, when we stand before the church, and as we stand before the minister, and he reads those vows to us, and we commit for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. We live in a culture and we live in a society that has a skewed view of marriage. That it's disposable. And I know that some of you have gone through that pain and that difficulty. And I know that you've gone through those situations and those seasons in your lives. But God has given you grace and maybe a new mate to you. And you are growing and you are enjoying life together. And God is blessing you. And you are able to take these words that Paul says and apply them to the situation and the marriage that you're in now. And God is doing great things through you and through your marriage. And it's all to the glory of God. And it is all by God's grace. So God loved. God gave himself. This loving and giving was for the purpose of sanctifying, for washing, for cleansing. And husbands, we are to be that to our wives. We are to be the sanctifying agent to our wives. We are to be helping her. We should be helping her grow in her walk with Christ. Helping her to understand the truths of the Word of God, because God is teaching us and we are just growing and developing in our walk with Christ. So that we might present her as holy and without blemish before God. I don't know how that's going to work. But our marriages are a picture of Christ in the church. And so I don't know if there is going to be a day that I'm going to stand before God and Chris is going to be there with me. And God's going to say to me, what have you done to present your wife to me today in the years that I have given you? I want to be able to say, I sanctified her. And I'm presenting you her today without blemish. Oh, men, what a responsibility God has given us. You see how this all fits into what Paul has already shared with us? We are all in Christ. We are all to be walking in holiness. We are all to be walking in the light. We are all to be walking in love. We are to be walking in wisdom. We are to be walking in the Spirit, submitting to one another as we submit to Christ. And this is how it plays out in our marriages. Because we understand God, we understand Christ, we understand what he has done for us in sanctifying us through his shed blood. And now I am to do that for my wife, to help her to grow in her walk with Christ, that she sees an example of me, of someone who is following after God with my whole heart. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants after you. Is that your prayer, men, this morning? That you would pant after God. Christ being our model. And what is our motivation? We are members of his body together. The one body thought that Paul continues to carry through this book. We are all one body. Paul says, what man in his right mind doesn't nourish and cherish his own body and keep it well and keep it fit? The same is true with my Chris. We became one flesh. A man shall leave his father and mother and be committed to his wife or bound to his wife or glued to his wife, whatever word you'd like to use there, and the two will become one flesh. We are one body together. And this is that profound mystery. This is a profound mystery because God is talking about Christ in the church. Our marriages are an example of this relationship of Christ to the church. And when we are outside of these walls, does the world see something different in our marriages that have a profound impact on them? And they say, I want that difference. And we could say, here's what it is. We're trying to model Christ. We're trying in our marriage to model Christ's relationship to the church. That we are growing together in that relationship, growing to look like Jesus Christ and to model that truth. Do you want to hear about it? Marriage has its ups and downs, doesn't it? We have the highs and the lows, and we have those days when things are going great. We have days when things are going bad. But we enjoy one another through them all. We have tried to put some lights down at the end of our driveway to sort of help people back out. We tried cheap lights. They got run over. We tried a little bit more expensive lights. They got run over. Four different times within the last 3 months, we've had lights run over in our driveway. So I took them out and I moved them up next to the sidewalk. So I'm in a hurry Friday, trying to leave for the retreat. Now, these are up by the house. They're not even in the driveway. And missed the driveway and ran over two of the lights. Chris looked at me and said, what are you doing? I said, I have no clue. I don't know how I took out the lights. So if you ever come over our house, you're going in the dark, at least in the driveway lights, because we can't keep them there for any reason. But it was one of those moments where it could have been, how could you be so stupid? You should have never hit those. But we laughed. And we said, oh well, they were destined to be run over. And I don't have anybody to blame except myself. But marriage has these ups and lows, ups and downs. We go through difficult times in our life. We go through difficult struggles. And the only way that we are going to make it through those times is if, wives, you're submitting to your husbands. And husbands, you're loving your wives as Christ loved the church. That's how Paul wraps up this section, doesn't he? However, let each one of you, verse 33, love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. What are three practical implications? Let me give these to you real quick. Paul's teaching here leads us to these three implications. Why is Paul teaching this? Why is Paul sharing this? Why is Paul driving this home? Because he knows that marriage has been under attack from day one. Marriage represents the culmination of God's gifts, a companionship that makes God's creation very good. And Satan has been at work to destroy that from the time that God created that institution. Number two, Paul's teaching gives guidance to family life. This idea of one flesh, leaving the old and the bringing up of something new in the marriage relationship. There is this newness. One of the professors when I was in Bible college was going to write a book on newness theology. As you read throughout Scripture, all these things that become new and how the word new influences the Christian life. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. And so this idea of newness, we take this two flesh, become one, putting away the old, leaving our fathers and mothers, cleaving to our wife, and becoming this new entity. And finally, Paul addresses the next generation. Understanding and appreciating this teaching enables us to prepare for marriage and to sense whether someone I am attracted to is suitable for marriage. So Paul says, come back here, young people. When you start looking for somebody that you're going to date and you want to marry, come here. Is the woman willing to submit? Is the man that you're looking at a man of God, a man of character, a man who has a heart and a passion to submit to God and allow God to do his work in his life so that he might lead you? Here's a synopsis of marriage counseling. It takes a few minutes to read, but it takes a lifetime to fulfill. So a marriage can't be cultivated in a hurry. It takes time. These instructions for husbands and wives are for the long haul. Each season of life and those changes that come with it are dynamic. And we learn and we grow together as we go through this. And our marriages are like this tapestry that's woven together to make a masterpiece. But it takes time and it takes patience and it takes commitment. Constantly checking and rechecking to make sure that we're on track. And marriage is certainly worth the effort. And its value is beyond explanation and price. I thank God for parents and in-laws who modeled what it meant to have a godly marriage, who walked 60 years, each of them, 60 plus years, in their marriages, through the ups, through the downs, through the good times, through the bad times, through sickness, through health, and honored God to the very day that those separations came, till death do us part. Commitment, a heart for God, men, a desire to model Christ to your wife, men, an opportunity for you to be Christ to your wife. Love them with your whole heart. Honor them as the weaker vessel. Wives, submit to your husbands as unto the Lord. Respect them. You know, common idea is men want sex. The reality is men want respect. Wives, respect your husbands. Husbands, love and honor your wives. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the challenge of your word. I pray, Father, that as we gather together this morning, that our hearts might have been open to the truth of your word. Father, what a challenge Paul has given us. In a culture that is taking us in a totally different direction when we try to understand marriage within the culture that we live in right now. Paul is saying this, I submit to one another. Don't try to get out of it whatever you can. Submit and allow God to take care of the details. Father, I pray that we as men might commit to love our wives as Christ loved the church. That we might be seeking to build emotionally, spiritually, physically into our wife's life. That we might honor her as the weaker vessel. Father, I pray for our wives that they might be willing, and the women of our church, that they might be willing to submit to their husbands, placing themselves under their authority because they see men who are following after Christ. Father, we also know that the church is only going to be as strong as our families. It's only going to be as strong as those relationships that are forged through perseverance and patience and commonality of a goal to be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, this morning, I don't know if there is someone here that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, and they say, my life is a mess right now. Father, I pray that today might be their day of salvation, that they might recognize that they are sinners separated from God, separated from you, that there is no way that they are going to rebuild that relationship or even form a relationship with you without someone standing in the gap for them. And Father, you demonstrated your love toward us that while we were yet sinners, you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins, to stand in the gap for us. So that as we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we have that relationship with you, that our lives changed. We now have a new Lord, a new Master, a new Savior, no longer under the penalty and weight of sin, but forgiven, cleansed, holy. Newness of life. The old has passed away, the new has come. Father, I pray that if there's someone here this morning that needs to put their faith and trust in you, I pray that today might be that day of salvation. Father, for our men, for our women, husbands and wives, I pray that today might be a day of commitment. We want our marriages to reflect what Christ has done for the church. I'm willing to give up my rights. I am willing to give up myself. I'm willing to submit men to God Himself, to Christ, women to their husbands, because I have a godly man to follow. Father, I pray that this might radically change our church. And as the church changes, our society is going to change, our culture is going to change. Father, do your work in us. Father, as the front of this church is open this morning, if there are couples that want to come and pray and just recommit their marriage to you, I pray that this morning that they might do that. I pray that if there is someone here that needs to put their faith and trust in you, that this morning they would come and put their faith and trust in you. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for your love toward us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.